Yeah, I want to speak to you about anger this morning, and the question is, in you ask for it, what does the Bible say about anger? And of course, it's a highly theoretical question. It's just theory only, because there's no one here struggling with anger, is there? So, yes. So Paul says, in your anger, well, let me read it to you. Where are we? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Now, that's a really bad translation. It should be angry. Because when the NIV translates in your anger, it misses the imperative. It actually says, be angry, but in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we would ask for your grace, your wisdom on this word and on our hearts and on our soul. And we pray that we might be people actually who are angry in the correct way, in the godly, righteous way, because there's not enough anger around. But that we wouldn't sin in our anger, and we wouldn't offend and damage the persona of people that we love, but help us to know the fullness of this word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to have a drink of water because I'm drier than a pommy's towel. Sorry. Oh, the pommies laughed at that one. A woman came running into the doctor's surgery, and she was shouting and screaming in pain. Please, doctor, you have to help me. I've been stung by a bee. And the doctor said, don't worry. I'll put some cream on it. And the woman said, you'll never find that bee. It's miles away. No, you don't understand. I'll put some cream on the place where you were stung. And the woman said, oh, it happened in the garden when I was sitting underneath a tree. The doctor, getting really, really angry by now, says, no, no, you fool. I mean, on the part of your body where you were stung. And the woman said, on my finger, the bee stung me on my finger and it really hurts. And the doctor, shouting now, really, really angry, said, which one? And the woman said, how am I to know? All bees look alike the same. Well, be angry. And so when the instruction in the Bible is to be angry, we should know straight away that anger as an emotion is already validated. And if we were to say that all anger is sin, then we would have to say that Jesus sinned and that God is continually sinning, because the Bible tells us that God is a God who is given to anger and love and mercy and grace. And the Bible tells us in a number of places that Jesus was angry, that Jesus actually became angry. So the first thing I want you to hear is that the Bible validates the emotion of anger. But then it says, but in your anger do not sin. And do not let the sun set on your anger. So anger is potentially very dangerous. We talk about angry young men, and we see angry young men, and you see the outworking and the outflow of their anger in angry acts, in abuse. By the way, you see angry young women as well. It's not just men. And we see angry people. We see angry leaders and politicians, and then you see the anger expressed on a larger scale. You see saber rattling and conflict and ultimately war. Anger is a dangerous thing. And so when the Bible says, be angry but do not sin, let me look at the second part of that first of all, the do not sin part. And I don't want to gloss over this, but I don't want to spend too much time either. And so from my understanding, and this is just my observation, there's three elements to anger that are quite distinct and yet they're related as well. The first element to our anger is this, it's disappointment. And so we see this in little children. Your children say to you, oh, Mum or Dad, can I sleep over at, you know, what's-his-name's place? And you say no, because, you know, their father is an axe murderer, or whatever the reason is. And you say no to the child, and what happens to the child? The child is disappointed. And what issues from the disappointment is anger. Have you ever experienced this? You say no to a child, they're disappointed. So there is the reaction, there is the soul response of disappointment, and then anger. Ever seen that? Or is this just really hypothetical? Perhaps this didn't happen with your children, but it did happen with mine. The next element that is the cousin of disappointment is frustration. And frustration is simply disappointment repeated. And again, you can see this with a little child. Have you ever seen little children play with those play blocks where you've got square holes, round holes, got a hammer, you got pegs? And you see the little child with some dexterity and with some patience trying to hammer a square peg into a round hole, bang, bang, bang. And it's amazing, isn't it, initially how patient they are. But then it doesn't work. And they become very, very frustrated and they start whacking and then eventually they pick the thing up and they throw it away or something. So there's disappointment and there's disappointment repeated, which is frustration. And this happens with kids of all ages. I remember one thing stands out in my mind, and I'm not sure whether my family remember this, but one Saturday morning when we were living in Ellie Beach, I decided that because I had a few things on in the rest of the day, I would get the lawn done early in the morning. Now, it was summer, and in summer, the grass grows about 2 inches every hour in northern Queensland. And it's hot and it's humid. And so I walk out of the front door, I'm already sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage. I walk out to the shed and I grab my whippersnipper. This has never happened to you guys, has it? I'm a little bit disappointed. Check a few things here and there. I'm getting frustrated. After about 20 minutes in the steaming heat of North Queensland, not getting this thing started, I picked it up. Remember, I'm a pastor, right? This is not a very godly thing. I picked it up and I launched it into the bush, which is a really, really dumb thing to do because nothing comes good of that maneuver because the whippersnipper's hanging in the bush somewhere in the thickets and you've got to go and retrieve it. And I think I injured myself retrieving it. Maybe this has happened to you. It's frustration. Or maybe you're like me too and you're working in the shed and you're trying to undo a nut that's really, really stubborn and you've got everything on it. You've got the breaker bar on it and nothing is happening. So what do? You pick up the spanner and you throw it into the atmosphere, but you're not in the atmosphere, you're in an enclosed shed, and so it hits the roof and bounces back, or it hits the bench and usually knocks you on the scone or something. Just sheer frustration. And you get angry. And the third one is pain. Disappointment, frustration, and pain. And if someone comes up to you and slaps you in the face, it's painful and you become angry. If someone lies to you, it's painful and you become angry. If someone cheats you, if someone slanders you, if someone gossips about you, it's painful and it gives rise to anger. You with me? Is this reflecting perhaps some of your experience? And you know, when someone is angry with us, one of the best things we can do is try and look past the anger and wonder about what is the pain behind the anger. It's a very good approach and it's a very good strategy for thinking about how you might respond when someone is venting. Because I tell you that what presents is never ever the issue. And the anger, though it might be explosive and though it might be hurtful and offensive, is never ever the issue. There is something deep in the psyche of the person. There is an issue of pain. There is a circumstance of pain, and that is driving the anger. Well, let me get back to that statement. The Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. So when is anger a sin? Well, anger is a sin when we seek to avenge someone's anger on us. And the Bible tells us very clearly, do not avenge, it is mine to avenge, says the Lord. Leave room for my wrath, Romans 12, verse 19. And anger immediately becomes sin when you brood about how you are going to avenge a person. Secondly, anger is a sin when anger is misdirected. There's two kinds of anger, I think, that are sinful. One is misdirected and the other is situational. Let me illustrate the misdirected anger. And again, this would never happen to you, but imagine that the man of the house has come home, married couple, and the man of the house has come home, but he's had a bad day at the office or at work. And on the way home, he's dinged the car up, he's run a red light, and he's come home, and he is fuming. And what does he do? He walks in and he sits down and he says to his wife, honey, I've had a really bad day. I need you to help me with my anger. That never happens. He comes home. He kicks the dog or the cat. And he starts yelling abuse at his wife and children. Now that is misdirected anger. And it's sinful. The second kind of anger, and again, highly hypothetical, is situational anger. And again, a married couple are doing something together. For instance, highly hypothetical, but they're perhaps trying to hang a screen door. And in the process of hanging this screen door, and there's nothing on YouTube to tell you how to do this or what angle the door needs to be when you're trying to lever it under that recess at the top of the door. And she's on one side and he's on the other side, hypothetically, and trying to lever this screen door up. Well, that is an occasion for situational anger, where you turn your frustration and your disappointment on each other for no good reason. Now, I'm really, really proud of us because we managed that maneuver without getting angry at each other or the door. But there was a time when I felt like picking up the door and launching it into the bushes, like I did once with a whippersnipper. Situational anger is sin. Misdirected anger is sin. Avenging is sin. So, let me talk about how we deal with our anger biblically. Number one, we must allow the scripture that says, do not avenge anger, do not seek revenge and leave vengeance for the Lord. we must allow that to thoroughly inspect and interrogate our heart. You know, the Scripture says that we must come before the Scriptures with trembling. And when the Bible says, do not seek vengeance, we must allow that Scripture to examine our heart. Because I have a suspicion that many people are seeking and plotting revenge. And they're doing that in anger. And we must tremble at the Word of God when it says, do not avenge. We must do that. Secondly, we need to go about the hard work of seeking to be disciplined in our relationships and in our interaction with those around us. And you know that it's often those people that are closest to us that make us the most angry because they mean the most to us. And this is my way of injecting that into a sermon and helping my wife to explain why sometimes I'm angry because she means much to me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such there is no law. When was the last time you read that and asked the Holy Spirit to help you to be moderate and temperate in the way that you relate to people? And number three, we must never let the sun go down on our anger. Now, that's purely a metaphor because in some places around the world, the sun doesn't go down at some times of the year. Like in Northern Europe, the sun doesn't go down. And that's why they're really, really angry in Northern Europe because the sun doesn't go down. It's a metaphor. And at the going down of the sun, there were some things that just stopped. And there were some things that needed to be resolved. For example, a hired person needed to be paid when the sun went down. Something that was pawned needed to be returned when the sun went down. There's a sunset clause on our anger. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. Because if you do, your anger will turn to poison. And your anger will characterize your person. And you will become an angry person. And the anger will transform into bitterness. I've seen it happen. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, here's the part I really want to emphasize this morning. There are times when it is a sin not to be angry. In your anger, do not sin. Be angry, yet do not sin. And there are times when anger is required. And anger in its purest sense is this. Anger is energy stimulated to defend something that is good, which is then vented against something which is evil. Okay? And there are times when it's required that we are actually angry. And the illustration that we have, a very, very clear illustration, is the illustration of Jesus. Now, Jesus was angry on a number of occasions. One occasion, he was angry when the Pharisees were hounding him about healing on the Sabbath. Can you imagine how he felt and how he responded when those people who are interested in the minutiae of the law put that above compassion and love for people who needed healing? And he was angry. But then there's a classic example of when Jesus went into the temple. That story when he cleansed the temple. And do you know what the Bible tells us? It says that Jesus made a whip. Now, Jesus didn't carry a whip as though that were his stock and trade tool. He didn't have a whip, but he made a whip. Do you know how long? I tried to work out how long it might have taken him to make a whip. I reckon a minimum of 15 to 20 minutes. And can you imagine what the disciples are thinking when Jesus is sitting down or standing making this whip? I don't think they're thinking, oh, Jesus is into macrame. They're wondering what's going to happen next. And with intention And with deliberate action, Jesus makes a whip. And he uses that whip. And he cleans out of his Father's temple those that were defiling the very presence of the temple and the reason for it. It was to be a place of worship and prayer. And they had turned it into a market. And Jesus was furious. I want to say to you, there's a time when it is a sin not to be angry. And when you think about what Jesus did, this is what he did. He was angry because something holy had become profane. Now you think about the application of that in our world. There are many things that are holy, that God declares to be holy, that have become profane. Marriage is a holy union between a man and a wife. What is it now? It's profane. Should we be angry? People are holy in the eyes of God because they're made in his image. Yes, they're sinful. Yes, they need salvation. Yes, they need regenerating. And we see incredible injustice. 39 people perish in a refrigerated van. Should we be angry? Oh, well, people are angry at the person who drove the truck and the other perpetrators. We should be angry at humanity that even allows something like that to happen. We should be angry people. But in a righteous way, with what the Bible calls indignation at the injustice, at the lack of compassion that we see in our world. And the Puritans, we live in the wake of the Puritans, because the Puritans would attack every human emotion. Oh, you mustn't be angry. You must just settle into apathy and just let everything wash over you. They were the same with many human emotions. And as evangelical Christians, we've inherited some of the puritanical approach to many things, many emotions, and many human experiences. I can't blame them for everything. I mean, they're no longer around, many of them. Let's not get angry at them. But we are people who want to be apathetic because we somehow think that that is the Christian way. But the way of Christ is to be angry, and yet in your anger, do not sin. Amen? Well, the Bible says a lot more about anger, but I'm too worked up to talk about it. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would awaken in us something of the righteous anger of a righteous, loving God who looks at this world with just the raw destruction that man is using and employing to go about destroying not just this world, but his own psyche. And we look at what man is doing in response to the precious revelation of God that's given for our well-being and our wholeness and our fulfillment, and how angry you must be. And yet you never sin in your anger. Your response is always righteous and holy. And we would want that we could reflect some of that. Help us in our relationships that we might be godly people who do not express our anger in a way that damages others. I know for one, I need that grace in my life. May it be so for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.